Thank you, guys. I bless. Excellent. Thank you, guys. I bless you. Good?
Thank you.
All right. Sir, you good? All right. So, you know, I wrestle with the Lord all the time. I'm going to preach this. You know, I've preached on this before, but I'm always hunting and looking for stuff. And so he kept pouring a lot of stuff into me. So I'll try to get through as much as I can, as kind of as quick as I can. But really all that to just say buckle up, because, you know, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to get through. And we'll just go with it. And as the Spirit leads, and we just trust the Lord around here. So Daniel found himself among the captives, probably as a teenager. He would have been a Jewish youth, and he would have been taken captive, and he would have been deported to a foreign land. That kind of gives you the youthfulness of Daniel and kind of where he's coming from. He's living among people that are very different than himself. He's surrounded by idolaters. He's surrounded by worshipers of many different kinds of gods. But instead of going along with the crowd and with the culture and with society, Daniel held fast to his faith and belief in God. We can look at ourselves and see that there are many people around us engaging in all kinds of multiple practices, and it can all be very difficult sometimes to hold on to the truth of Scripture in the midst of all the pressure and all the culture and all the society. There are many forms of interpretation, and many people believe in alternative, acceptable ways to please God. There are still many gods. There are still many idols. Watered down gospel. Is there grace without repentance? Let me say it another way, perhaps it's a little. Is there salvation without admitting you're a sinner? You can wrestle with that. Ponder it. Is there salvation without admitting you're a sinner? Daniel had a very keen mind. He had great knowledge and great understanding. He would have been trained in the ways of manners and how to behave around these people, particularly around a king, around royalty, around administrators and people with power. But he's in a foreign land, learning a foreign thing, learning a foreign way. And he was very good at it. He excelled at it. He had a great spiritual ability to even interpret dreams. Continue to keep on reading, and you'll find out all kinds of things that God gave to Daniel, that he unfolded God's plans for us, that we still read about and still hear about. Daniel had a reputation as a man of God. What's your reputation? Very important to know your spiritual gifts. Daniel knew his spiritual gifts. He was gifted with the ability to edify the saints and even reach the lost. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Because that's where your sweet spot is. Daniel found favor among the heathens. Daniel found favor among the heathens. He became a trusted advisor. He worked for the government, where there's a lot of corruption. But he was a man of integrity, a man of honesty, a man who didn't follow multiple gods, but followed the God, one God. And Daniel was elevated to position. There's your first one. He had a privileged position in a foreign land, and outsiders, he was an outsider that angered all those that were already there. Angered many people that were around the king. Jealousy, envy, all of those things. And these people would eventually generate a plan for his demise and his death. Following God would lead Daniel to great heights and, of course, to tremendous pits. Daniel was a man of faith and faithfulness. And what if our measure of faith, may I have expressed this maybe once before, what if our measure of faith is not that we remained faithful. We were this high and lofty position and success, and we gave and we sacrificed and we did all these things, and that was our measure. We had this measure of success that was way up. But then what if we were very lowly in humility and humble, and we were poverty stricken, and we didn't have much, and then we were still thankful to God, and our measure of faith was very, very low. What if our measure of faith is not the height, and the measure of faith is not where you landed on the low? What if your measure of faith is all the space in between? He had a measure of faith about him. He never really had many highs, never had really many lows. Daniel had some tremendous highs, elevated by position and favor. Daniel had some pretty low lows. The measure of Daniel's faith was pretty great. Daniel served with excellence, both people and governments and his God. Amongst pagan people. See, I think God sometimes just goes, people. They're just people. Serve them. I will give you favor. Daniel had spiritual abilities that were used to serve, even living among the unbelievers. Do you have spiritual abilities? While living amongst the unbelievers? Are you Holy Spirit filled living among the cursed? Are you Holy Spirit filled living among the lost? Are you Holy Spirit filled living among those that are still seeking and still wondering and still arguing with you about it? This is one chapter of Daniel's life. And this one chapter is maybe 30 days. We get a glimpse of just this picture. That's our scripture. Just this picture of about 30 days of Daniel's life. He had a lifetime of experiences with the Lord. Daniel knew God long before this situation ever came about. And Daniel knew God long after this situation had come about. He knew the Lord that had guided him, his life, through the highest of highs and through the lowest of lows. How about the measure of faith of a lifetime? Now there's a measure of faith. He knew the Lord long before he needed rescue. Here's your next slide. Is Christ only for crisis? Do you know? Are you reassured? Are you faithful? Are you committed? Are you walking with the Lord every day? Or are you waiting for the crisis and then you come to church? Are you waiting for the crisis and then you dig the Bible off the shelf and blow off the dust and try to find some scripture that is somehow relevant to your circumstance and your situation? Are you waiting for a crisis to build a relationship with God? See, here's your next slide. See, I think that a life without Christ is already in crisis. It's already in crisis. See, this is why Jesus came, because your life was in crisis. So at some point you go, I believe in Jesus. At some point you go, yes, I'm a sinner. Cover me with the blood of Christ that I might be forgiven and inherit all the blessings of heaven. At some point, probably most everybody in here would say they're a believer. Would you say you're a believer? Give me an amen. See, is your life still in crisis mode? It's not in crisis mode like that anymore. You're a believer. Christ has paid the price, covered you, filled you with the Holy Spirit of God. If you think you're in crisis mode, think again. Reshape your thoughts. Peace be with you. Is it with you? Or are you still waiting for it to arrive somewhere along the line? Does the problem lie with the kingdom of God, or does the problem lie with me in relationship to the kingdom of God? God is in control. Always has been. Always was. Always is and always will be. God was in Babylon with the captives. God is in control now. Despite what you may think, despite what you may see, despite what you may even feel, God is in control. It doesn't matter who runs the government. God is in control. It doesn't matter who the president is. God is in control. I know sometimes it doesn't look like it. I know sometimes you feel like you're in the pit. We walk by faith, not by sight. What does that even mean? How do you even apply that to your life? It's all about your relationship with God. Someone once observed that only mediocre people are always at their best. Excellence is always striving. It wants a deeper relationship with God. It wants a fellowship with his people. It wants a deeper relationship and an intimacy with God. And the line between success and failure is really quite small. The line between prosperity and the pit is thin. For Daniel, 30 days. And why was Daniel succeeding in the pit? Succeeding in the pit. Succeeding by being surrounded by pagans. Unbelievers. Day after day after day after day after day. I think Daniel broke the mode of mediocrity. He excelled in a social and in a political environment where the majority of his countrymen were content with the status quo. I would say even those that were Jewish exiles, those that would have been gathered and brought there, all had a victim mentality. Woe is me. It's so terrible to be in this land. It's so awful. It's awful to be here and under the oppression of these people. I can't believe who the king is now. I can't believe who the president is now. I can't believe the economic situation. And there's this victim mentality that they've adopted. Oh, we're so captured. Woe is me. God has left us. It wasn't Daniel's case. Same place, same upbringing. See, when you examine Daniel's life, you'll quickly discover that his fame didn't just happen by chance. Didn't happen just by chance. Instead, you'll find his rise to power can be traced to a very few important decisions in Daniel's life. He followed God. He followed God, even when it was unpopular. He followed God, even though society was going a different direction. He followed God, even though the economic scenarios didn't look good for him. He followed God. You know what else he did? He prayed. He prayed to God. That set an example. And it made him enemies. It made him enemies. He followed God even in the trials. He followed God even in the pit. Follow God in the confusion. Even if it would cost him his freedom, he would follow God. Even if it would cost him his life, he would follow God. Was Daniel successful? How would you define success? How would you define success? All the apostles are martyred. How are you defining success? The administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find any corruption within him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Probably like they were. Finally, these men said, we're never going to find any basis for charges against this man. He lived above reproach. Unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Because he's got a different God than we do. He follows his God. And there's your next one, persecution. Persecution came. Persecution. Daniel, listen, Daniel did all these wonderful things that brought him an elevated position. And he found favor among pagan people. And he did all these great things and maintained his relationship with God, and it still brought persecution. He did all the right things, and he got persecuted. He did all the right things, and he still found himself in the pit. He did all the right things, and he still had enemies. He did all the right things, and he still had adversaries. He did all the right things, and people were conspiring against him. You do all the right things and you still end up in the pit. It seems so unfair, God. Life isn't fair. Evil exists. And Satan just doesn't want to take you down. He wants to take you out. Evil is real. Wickedness runs rampant. And there is no real fault found in Daniel. Particularly in these moments, this snapshot of what we get of Daniel. Daniel's prepared for whatever comes his way. Daniel's prepared for the elevated position to walk amongst the king, to walk amongst the governors and the prefects and all the governmental authorities. Daniel's ready. Daniel's ready for all the troubles that might come. Daniel's prepared for what comes next. I know it can seem tough right now. I know it can look busy. I know it can look boring, maybe even in your life, but it can be tiring. But it's all about your preparation. Are you prepared for what comes next? Because something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen in your life. You might be elevated to a grandiose position. You might find yourself in the den of lions. But something's going to happen. And are you prepared? I know it can look like persecution. It can look like a lot of distractions. I know this, that people drop out like flies because they are not conditioned for what comes next. They are not conditioned for walking amongst the favor of God. They're not prepared to walk and live in the lion's den. They're not prepared. Too many people are getting their ears tickled about Jesus and the love of Jesus, and they're not prepared for what comes next in their lives. Are you ready? Are you still waiting for the crisis? Or are you getting prepared now? Can you look at Daniel and see an example? See, what God was doing with Daniel was extraordinary. And what God is doing with this church is extraordinary. What God is doing with you is extraordinary. God has great plans for you. Though it can seem like you're in the pit, though it can seem like there's lots of persecution, though it can seem like I live in a land of pagans. Stay the course. Keep the faith. Follow your God. Keep your eyes upon His kingdom. And really, that's all you got? Going to pick on my faith? That's what you got. You're going to pick on me about my God. That's what you got? We are living in a time when it's extremely easy to compromise our integrity and our faith and to even jump on what the next popular thing is, leaving Christ and the kingdom behind. Stay the course. Stay firmly planted. Stand upon the rock of your salvation. There will be opposition. There may be persecution. But I also know this. I also know that there's preservation. There's your next one. That there's preservation. Now listen, I know that is not a lion. That's a panther. So why would I put that up there? Come on. Come on. Florida Panthers are in the Stanley Cup, baby. You know it. Someone to celebrate. All right. I was prepared to put the Heat logo up there, too, but Miami didn't do so good on us. Yeah, you have to wait till Monday. Yeah, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait. A new law has been issued. A new law has been issued. No one's permitted to pray for the next 30 days. And it's really kind of the way he says, the way they write it too. No one is allowed to pray to any god or human except to you, King Darius. Oh, let's stroke that ego a little bit, right? Let's make the king feel, no one should pray to anybody other than me. I wonder if he thought of himself as a god. Like we often think pharaohs think of themselves as gods, you know. Did King Darius think of himself in this way? They were certainly kind of like, they should only be praying to you. Like a doctor with God complex, right? If I'm going to do an operation and they're praying, who do you think they're praying to? Interesting, King. Interesting. The law was really nothing more than a smokescreen some people had put together to try to get Daniel in trouble. They knew Daniel would never stop praying to his God, even if it was an edict from the king. And how simple it would have been. 30 days, Daniel, just, you know, hey, compromise a little. Just don't pray. 30 days, man, come on. He wouldn't even compromise. Would we? During the pandemic, I never shut down. I was here every Sunday preaching the Word of God, whether you were here or not. That sign outside, Lori Beck put that sign out there many, many years ago. Open Sundays. Open Sundays. And when everything was closed down, and maybe I saw one car a day go up Forest Hill Boulevard, I kept waiting for the knock on my door. What do you mean you're open on Sunday? There's a sign that says you're open on Sunday. We're open on Sunday. And never compromised. Many people started watching at home, and then they got in the habit of watching at home. Many people are still at home watching with a habit that they need to break and come join the fellowship. It wasn't very long before Daniel had heard about the law and the decree that had happened. And so, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home, and he made a sign, and he picketed in front of the king's house. Unfair treatment. This is unfair treatment of me and my God. This is not right, king. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he signed a petition along with a few other Jews. Made sure that the king had it. When Daniel learned about the decree had been published, he went home and he published a 3-page blog on the social media about all the injustices of the king. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And asking for help. That's what he did. When he heard about it, what would you do? I'm convinced that Daniel wasn't really interested in becoming dinner at the Lions Club. That's for sure. But when faced with a decision, he chose God. What decisions are you facing? What choices are you going to make? Daniel's first allegiance to God. Daniel's first allegiance was to God. He loved God. He believed God. He followed God. Will you? And God preserved him because of it. What's your first resource? Who's your first resource? Your first response. Where do you go? What do you do? What trigger thoughts go into your mind? I think Daniel may have been wondering, what is going on? Why would such a decree be made? But even in that, I think he remained tranquil and he remained calm. Come what may, God's in control. He trusted God, period. He walked by faith. His demeanor proved it. He didn't fight, he didn't kick, he didn't scream, he didn't try to run away and hide. He remained self-controlled, at peace, and in the lion's den. You understand he prayed for help, right? He gave thanks and he prayed for help. And he's in the lion's den. This isn't the kind of help I was thinking, kind of, Lord. I was thinking you might want to change the decree and change the law. I was thinking that maybe you wouldn't put me in the lion's den. I'm thinking I need my kind of help that might preserve me. Why am I still in the pit? I'm praying for your help. Help did not come to Daniel until he was in the pit. You walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't skip around it. You don't dig a hole under it. You don't climb over it. You go through the valley of death. I don't think Daniel wanted to be in the pit. But come what may, God. Jesus prayed, Father, if there is some other way, I would prefer not to endure the pit. Not my will, your will. My life and not my own. My life, yours to do with as you will. Daniel remained tranquil, self-controlled, when it did not look very good, from being surrounded by pagans to being surrounded by lions. It went from bad to worse. The king, on the other hand, he was a little bit perplexed. The king did not sleep, the scriptures tell us. The king was troubled. The king was upset. The king was distraught. The king knew that he had been tricked by all his top leaders and administrators. And the king even tried to undo what had been done. But what he had done was irrevocable. The king was helpless at this point. Everything, wow, everything rested on the God of Daniel. Everything. And God shows up. And God shows up. Daniel's God delivers him. Daniel's saved from the ferocious lion, and Daniel is preserved. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he was calling out to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, Daniel, Daniel. You can hear him. He's servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, because you didn't serve me, the God that you serve continually, able to rescue you from the lions. May the king live forever, Daniel answered. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. Above reproach. Both God and man. Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to trust the Lord even in the pit? Even when you don't get the help you think you should get? Your faith sets an example. Your faith sets an example. Our behavior should reflect something different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world seems to be fear and panic and suspicious of everything and everyone. Our faith needs to be stronger than the latest cultural fad. Our faith needs to be stronger than the latest social outrage. Our faith needs to be stronger than the latest Zen-like philosophy that you might find in your peace. Our faith needs to be stronger than the bestseller that's out there telling you and teaching you. You know that they removed the Bible from the bestsellers list, right? They have to take the Bible off the bestsellers list, otherwise there would never be in any other bestseller. Because the Bible's the bestseller. Always. Always, always. They just remove the Bible off the bestsellers list so that others can be bestsellers. Break out from the company of this world. Daniel stood out, and it cost him a lot. Are you unable and unwilling to pay the price of being different? Run with the elite and run with the faithful. Run with the warriors for the cause of Christ. Unlike many of his contemporaries, Daniel chose character. He chose faith over his own comfort. That's difficult to choose when we live in a very pleasure-based society. Not survival-based society. We live in a pleasure-based society. You're all figuring out what would bring me pleasure for lunch today. That's a pleasure-based society. Survival-based society, what am I going to find to eat today? We must choose faith over personal comfort, character over personal comforts. He had the courage to be different. Different than the unbelievers that were around him. Are you ready? Even different than the believers that he had been brought over with in captivity. They were all living in a victim mentality. And at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den. Ready? Along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions devoured them and crushed all their bones. Here's your next one. Punishment. Punishment. Does that feel a little unnerving when you read that? It feel a little unnerving, like he threw all the precepts and the administrators into the pit along with their wives and their children. Eesh. It should make you feel a little uneasy. I think it's supposed to. Because the sin these satraps, administrators, prefects, and government leaders affected not only themselves, but it affected all those around them. I hear it all the time, more often than I care to know. I'm not hurting anyone. It's my only vice. It's mine and mine alone. I'm not hurting anybody. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? Because what you're doing is causing pain to others. What you're doing is causing turmoil to others. What you're doing is causing anxiety and worry and stress for other people. The very people that you say you care about. The very people that care about you. But you're not hurting anyone. It's just you. It's just you. Are you sure about that? Your sin is destroying your family. Your addictions are hurting your mother and father. Your addictions are hurting your siblings. Your adultery has damaged your kids. Your lies, your cheating, your stealing, even your slothfulness and laziness, jealousy and arrogance and gambling and impatience and cruelty, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. Your sin has turned a dark cloud over everyone around you. But it's just your issue. It's just your anger. It's just your gambling problem. It's just your addiction. It's just your alcoholism. You're not hurting anybody. It's just yours. I know you think you're only hurting yourself, but you better think again, because your actions are hurtful to those that are around you. You think you're suffering alone, and you're suffering all the ones that are around you as well. You think you're the only one getting destroyed. Your entire family is subject to the effects of your generational sin. Where do you think it started? Where's it going to end? You going to be the one who's going to break it? Or are you going to be the one that's going to continue it? Sin has consequences that are far and wide, way beyond the scope of your self-centered rationalization. While you perpetuate sinfulness and think it's harmless, God observes and takes out the root that spreads. Is there salvation without repentance? Is there salvation without repentance? Are you saved but you're not transformed? Do you want to take that risk? Are you putting your family in jeopardy? A small pebble creates many ripples. As much as I realize that my sin affects others and those that are around me, I also know my prayers and my actions can also add to their prosperity. I can lift them up or I can bring them down. I can be an example of honesty and integrity or I can lie and cheat. I can pursue strength of character or I can steal. I can speak love and respect into people's lives or I can speak hatred and fear. Are you a blessing or are you a curse to those around you? When people come into this fellowship, are they blessed because they've come here? Or are they just more angry and poorer? King Darius wrote to all the nations that were under his control and the peoples of every language on the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree," he wrote, "that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. There's your next one, prosperity. Prosperity. The Lord rooted out the corruption that was all around Daniel. The Lord rooted out all the corruption that was around Daniel. What did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? He followed God and he prayed to God. That's what he did. God watched over him just as surely as he will watch over you. The Lord will restore his people. The Lord will shut the mouths of the vile. The Lord will shut the mouths of the evil one. The Lord will pick you up out of the pit. The Lord can and does reward the faithful. If you can learn anything from this passage today, let it be that your sin hurts other people. Also, that the Lord rewards the faithful. I'm not as good as Daniel, I admit it. 3 times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed and thanked God. Not as good as Daniel. Can I be half as good? A third. Can I be a third as good as Daniel? Can I pray once? Maybe give thanks over a meal before I slop it in my face? Give thanks for it? Could I ask for help? Could I pray over my spouse for her well-being? Can I do that? Once a day, maybe. I'm not trying to be as good as Daniel. My measure of faith might be a lot small. Might not be as long either in my lifetime. But can I? Once? Can I pray for my kids so that they might hear me? My friends? Could I soak the scriptures? You know what soap the scripture is, right? You have a scripture. You observe what's happening in the scripture. How do you apply that to your life? And then pray. There's a prayer part of that, right? Do you just read the scripture and move on? Or do you read the scripture and, you know, say, "Lord, when I hear the sermon or when I read this passage, I pray that you give me something of meaning." Do you think Daniel's prayer life had anything to do with his relationship with God. And you just get a 30-day snapshot. Boom. Do you think Daniel's prayer life had anything to do with his relationship with God? Do you think yours does? Do you think his successful position in preservation and finding favor amongst the heathens and even preservation in the lion's den, do you think it had something to do with his relationship with God? If you think it had something to do with his success, then maybe, just maybe, you just might think it might have something to do with me. That somehow I might have this kind of successful relationship with God. Yeah. Are you waiting for the crisis? Or are you preparing now? Building on that relationship now. Here's the last one. I threw this one in just because it was there. The Lord kind of gave it to me at the end. There was a purpose. There was a purpose behind all that. There's a purpose why the scriptures are given to you. There's a purpose why you get to see this little 30-day snapshot of Daniel's life. What's the point? Is there a purpose to what's going on with you? Keep the faith. Make an eternal impact. To bring God honor and glory. That your life bring honor and glory to God. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, just want to thank you for this opportunity once again to just be here together. We pray as we look into your word, Father, that you might work in our hearts and in our minds, that you might challenge us and transform us and move us into a deeper, intimate relationship with you. Father, we desire success. We don't even know what that means. Success in amongst all the heathens. Success amongst being in the pit in the lion's den, Father. And as we cry out for help, Father, I know that help may not always come the way we even think or desire or want. But Father, we know that you are in control. And that you help and guide and lead and inspire each and every one of us. You have not forsaken us nor abandoned us. We are your children whom you love. Give us the reassurance, Father. Aid us and guide us in our prayer lives, in our dedication to you. We might serve you and serve you well. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. Offering. Let's collect them off.
Thank you. We are going to receive our morning and afternoon offering. Those of you who are come prepared to give, we pray that you would do that with a cheerful heart today. And those of you who need, we pray that God would supply all your need according to his riches and glory. The gentleman will come to receive our offering. We will pray and thank God for this opportunity we have to give. Father, we thank you for your word today that talks about Daniel. And we thank you for the example that he is. And we thank you, Lord, for the word that has been preached with power and boldness. And now we respond to your word and we give to you from the gifts that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, that we would give them with cheerful hearts, that your work will go on, that your work will be financed, that your kingdom will come, and that your will be done throughout this community and throughout the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.